Very thankful to be able to be here today. Thankful for what the Lord's done for us. For Sister Karen, realize that this time, especially a time that I'm thankful our country does still set aside to remember and to all that we have to be thankful for, realize that the benefits of the Lord are many. Psalm 68:19, I believe, bears that out. That He's given us much. He's done much for us, and I'm thankful for it. I'd like to begin in Revelation, the third chapter. I feel like the Lord inspired a little message to me that I want to bring out by His help. Ask for your prayers. Trust that be a blessing to all of us. His words, I know, are alive by His Spirit. Because of His Spirit, there is life in them. He breathes the breath of His Spirit into it. And that's what the word to inspire means. And that's what we pray. Lord, inspire Your word. Inspire our hearts to receive it. Breathe breath into it. Make it alive. Words that otherwise are ink and paper, we realize, are more than that. They're life in them. Revelation, the third chapter. This is a familiar address unto the church of the Laodiceans. Jesus, throughout the first few chapters of Revelation, addressing the seven churches that are in Asia. Some believe that that's speaking of, or it's representative of, different church ages, and this particular letter applies to this certain period of time. But I believe that what's written in here pertains unto us throughout time. Believe if you look at the different places, the different churches that He wrote unto, He knew them. He said, in one place, I know your works. I know that you have a name that you live, but you're dead. I know this, and I commend you for this, but I want to deal with this area here. 14th verse of Revelation 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Notice the Lord's dealings with these people. The way that He addressed them, I know your works. I know about you. I know what's in your heart. I know the condition of the congregation here. And I want to address that. I know and notice that He doesn't come and say, I'm spewing you out of my mouth. I've already made the determination. There's no more hope for you. There's no more chance for you to improve your standing before me. But He said, here's where I found you. I've looked upon you. I've known your heart. I've known your life. And here's my evaluation of you. Shouldn't that be what all of us want to know? Want to understand, Lord, how is it not my own estimation of myself, but the burden that the Lord has given me is about honesty before God. Lord, I want to be honest before you. I don't want to just go throughout life with my own idea of how I am, of my condition, of, well, I esteem myself and here's where I believe that I am, because it says here that they had done that. They had an idea, they had it all settled in their minds that I am increased with goods. I'm prosperous. Things are going well in my life. I'm satisfied with the place and the condition that I'm in. You know, many people today are satisfied with where they're at. There are many people that I want to live for the Lord. I want to be able to have His blessings upon my life. But I get into a place that I settle down and maybe you could call it a rut. I get into a place that I'm comfortable in. And I don't really want to move out of that. And I'm satisfied with where I'm at with the Lord. But you know, our walk with the Lord is one that, if you look at the children of Israel, the Lord said, whenever my cloud goes, you go with it. And whenever it stops, that's where you stop. He told them whenever they had gone to the mount, led them up, I believe, was it a month or a few months' time after they had left Egypt? And he led them unto the mount there where he gave them the law, and they stayed there for quite some time. The Lord had met them there and had talked with them, but there came a time where he said, you've encompassed this mount long enough. You've been here long enough. I wanted you to be in this place. I've blessed you in this place, but now it's time for something more that I have for you. I believe the Lord doesn't want us in our lives, in our walk with Him, that I get so complacent and settled. And I believe that this is the condition that He found the congregation in. You're complacent. Maybe there's not sin that I found in your life, but you're in a place where you're not cold and you're not hot. You're just in a lukewarm, complacent condition in your lives. That condition, lukewarmness, is an incubator of confusion and deception. In that place where I get satisfied, where maybe I'm not as earnest in seeking the Lord. We sang a song about fire in the soul. Do we have the fire that's burning within us? The Lord wants that desire to be within us so strongly. Lord, I want to please You. Lord, I want to know that my ways are acceptable before You. That I not just take for granted that, well, I was okay last year and I've always wanted to live for the Lord. I've always had a desire. But Lord, I want to know where You truly see me. I want to know if You're truly pleased with the way that I handled that test. The way that I went through that trial, or the way those people withstood me and the way that I reacted to it. And I felt that I was so right in it. Lord, I want to know what You think about it. I want to know what Your assessment is. This scenario here is speaking of two opinions. Mine and the Lord's. I have my own opinion. If you ask me to assess myself and where I'm at, I can tell you, well, I'm encouraged. I love the Lord. I'm glad to be saved. And there's the Lord's opinion. There's the Lord's assessment and evaluation. Well, I'd like to consider here for a moment about our opinion. Remember what Jeremiah 17 and 9 says? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Deceitful, I believe, is said above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I, the Lord, try the heart. I try the thoughts. The condition of the heart of man, or the nature of our hearts, is not one that I can trust. It's not one that, you know, you hear people talk about, well, just follow your own heart. That's all, that's the best counsel you hear sometimes at graduations and times like that. We're looking to the future and just follow your heart. Follow the path that your heart leads you down. You know which path that is? Our hearts are without the work of God upon our hearts are desperately wicked. They're deceitful. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. If I look and I assess where I'm at and the path that I'm on, I'll always say it's right, or I wouldn't be on it. I wouldn't, many times, I wouldn't just pick a path that I say, I know this is wrong. There are those that forsake the Lord and I believe it's a better condition, as the Scripture says. I would that you were cold or hot. I would that if you choose another path, at least acknowledge, Lord, this is where I'm at. At least acknowledge that, Lord, I realize that I'm going astray. I realize that I'm not following in Your instruction. And I'm taking that upon myself. I know that I'm not in the place that I need to be in. Because if I'm in that place, I can acknowledge, Lord, I need help. I can come to the place that I realize, Lord, I know I'm not where I need to be, but I want to get there. I know I'm not completely measured up, but Lord, I want to be there. I want Your help. But if I should choose to just justify myself and pat myself on the back, then I could find myself in a place as the Laodiceans. that I have convinced myself that I'm doing all right. I'm spiritual and I love the Lord and I'm just right where I need to be. But the Lord would have us to seek His opinion, His assessment and evaluation of our hearts. Psalms, the 36th chapter. This scripture recently really stuck out to me. Psalms 36 and first verse. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before His eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And a man left to his own devices, left to my own thoughts and my own way of thinking. The song says, God's way is best. What's that verse that said? Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I would go astray. If I just had my own opinion and my own thoughts of myself, it would lead me astray. I can't follow my own heart. I can't... Heard an interview of a woman, I don't know who it was, I believe a celebrity, she had left her husband, and said, well, I had to do it. I had to be true to my passions and my desires, and had gone off with another man. That's where your heart will lead you. That's where your heart, and I'll find every justification. The enemy is faithful to provide us with some reason why you're okay. You're justified in the way you reacted to that person. You have every reason to have responded in that manner, to have the mindset that you have. There's a reason for it, and it's okay, and it's logical, and it makes sense, and you should have that opinion. But our hearts will lead us astray. Our hearts, if we're not open to the Lord's light, to His Spirit, to the candle of the Lord searching our hearts, we'll find ourselves in a place of confusion. The Lord ponders the heart. Proverbs 20 and 6 said, most men will proclaim every man his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Most people are real quick to tell you of all the things that they've done and of whenever they present a situation. I've had the occasion, not one that I really enjoyed as a supervisor, to have two employees that got into a fight. It came almost to blows, and people, so much so that people were hiding behind machines to try to get out of the way. It was two women, and I had gone home for the evening. But I came back in the next morning, and as soon as I got in the door, people were lining up to tell me about it. Clint, you got to take care of this. But oh, great. So I went, and I heard one, talked to one lady that was there, and I said, listen, what happened? Here's what I'm hearing. And she told me the awfulest story of what this other woman had done, and threatening her and saying all kinds of things to her and calling her names and cussing her out. I thought, my goodness, I got to go talk to this lady. I got to deal with this. So I went to this other lady and I said, I need to know what happened. Before I launched into my conclusion on the matter, I wanted to hear her side of it. Unfortunately, I did. I said, well, what happened? She said, this other lady came in and she started yelling at me and cussing me out and threatening me, and I was afraid for my life. And, well, now, wait a minute. That's completely different stories that I just heard. So I said, all right, we're going to have a little powwow. We're going to sit down together. We're going in a conference room. And I try to give them the opportunity here, both of you, again, express your sides. You're right in front of each other now. And they started into it, and I had to stop them and say, okay, time out. You're both acting like children. You're acting immature. This shouldn't have happened. I don't care who was at fault. And both of them were nodding their heads and looking at the other person. Yes, you're acting like a child, and this should have never happened. But you know, whenever I'm looking on myself, my heart is deceitful. Whenever I'm evaluating a situation like that, my tendency is to tell you my side of it. My tendency is to tell you, well, this is why I reacted the way that I did. I'd like to consider chastening for a moment. Revelation 3 here has said, for as many as I love, I rebuke. Most of us have had children or have children. We know that is an important part of our job, chastening our children, correcting our children. But how often have you corrected your child and had them agree with you? Yes, Father, I realize that I was acting out of jealousy. Yes, Father, I realize that I had an ugly attitude. Yes, you're right, Father, I realize that I was just having self-pity there. You're right. It's not often that way, is it? The natural reaction is to point the blame to somebody else. The natural reaction, well, I didn't do that, and I found sometimes when I've gotten onto one of them, well, Dad, all I was doing was whistling. But yet they knew the whole time, and the more the other person got aggravated about it, the louder they whistled. There wasn't joy in their heart. That wasn't why they were whistling. They weren't just thankful to be alive. They knew that it was tormenting the other person. They knew that, and they whistled all the more, and, well, Dad, with the most innocent sounding voice, and I have to tell them, you know better. You know that's not what was the underlying reason. You know that's not what, you know you were trying to cause a reaction with the other person. But even from a small child, my tendency is to look on myself in a much more favorable light than what reality does. That I'm justified in what I'm doing. There's a reason why I do what I do. But the Lord, it says here in Revelation 3, of those two opinions, my opinion of myself and the Lord's opinion, the first verse we read said, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Which testimony do you think will stand? Which witness of myself? Which account of my life do you think will stand? The one that I could try to convince you of, myself of, or the Lord of, or His witness? You know, even Jesus Himself said unto those that were looking on His ministry and many that were finding fault with Him, He said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But there is another that bears witness of me, my Father. My Father bears witness of me, and the works that I do bear witness of me. And I believe what He was saying, my own words or my own testimony of myself or of any person for that matter, it's shallow. Under the law even, there had to be witnesses. There had to be others that could bear witness to an account or a story that took place. If I want to sell my house, they're not just going to say, okay, Clint, well, how much do you think your house is worth? Well, let me tell you all the work I've put into this. I think it's worth somewhere up here. No, they bring an independent assessor out to look at it and say, here's what the real value is. Here's what the real worth of it is. Because my own assessment tends to be biased. And I believe this scripture, it applies to the sinner. It applies to those that are walking in transgression and sin and trying to cover it up and justify it, and seven women that take hold of one man and say, let us be clothed in our own apparel, but be called by thy name and all of that. I believe it applies in that case. But I believe it applies to every one of us. I believe in our walk with the Lord, it has to do with my honesty before Him and all of His dealings with me. It may not be a matter of sin. It may be a matter of attitude. It may be a matter of a mindset. It may be a matter of something that the Lord's put His finger with on in my life. Whenever that happens, you know I have a choice. I have a choice of how I'm going to respond to that. I can respond as the children many times do naturally. Well, there's a reason why. Well, there's a reason why I've acted this way. There's a reason why I think. And I come up with a whole line of justification for where I'm at. That's not the way that I want to respond to the Lord. James, the first chapter, it talks about, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Because he that hears the word and doesn't do it, he's like a man that goes and he looks in a mirror. But then he goes and he straightway turns and he forgets what manner of man he is. Why do you think he wouldn't deal with it right then? You ever seen something in the mirror of the Word that doesn't look pretty? You ever see something that you just really didn't like? You know, the reaction can be that I try to, again, justify why I'm seeing what I'm seeing. I try to look at it and I try to, well, maybe I'll think about it, or maybe, and I make excuses and reasons, but I don't when the Lord comes to me. You know, I'd love to have a child say, "Yes, Dad, you're right. I was acting in jealousy. I was acting," and sometimes when we talk and we deal with it, eventually they do. But I believe the Lord wants us to be the same way. When the Lord comes and He says, "My child, I'm just trying to talk with you." You notice in Revelation, He didn't come in His dealings, "I'm going to cut you off. I'm here to deal with you in such a way I found something that I'm not pleased with in your life. So I'm here to let you know I've already spit you out and there's no hope for you." That's the way the enemy approaches us. But the Lord comes to us in a way that says, "I've seen something in you. And my whole purpose, my whole desire," and pointed out, "it's not for you to feel in despair. That's not why we deal with our children. It's not why I tell my child you're acting out of anger, you're acting out of self-pity, you're this and you're that. I want you to see yourself. I want you to realize the next time this happens that I can't allow myself to go that way. I've got to control my desires." You ever heard of some of the modern parenting methods? We got somehow, I believe it's Parents Magazine, sent to us, and I think it was a trial subscription or something. And Katrina had read in it about if your child, or one of us had read in it, if your child is in the supermarket, they're going through the checkout line and they see something that they want, and they start throwing a fit, don't you blame them. It's not their fault. You have to realize and you have to understand the reason why they're acting that way is because their senses are overstimulated. And all that they're seeing of all the things that they want around them, their senses are just overstimulated. So you can set some rules and you can set some boundaries, but let them break them. Let them break the rules. Let them go over the boundaries sometimes. Avoid correction. Avoid discipline. Just love the child and understand and try to realize that they are a product of their surroundings. So if there are things around them that they want and they're throwing a temper, it's not their fault. It's the surroundings' fault. So if you change the surrounding, then maybe they won't want it anymore. So try to accommodate it. Well, I say the overstimulation should happen on their backside in that kind of situation, because I don't believe that a child is just without choice, without will, just a product. If we raise our children as products of their surroundings, what are they going to do when they get out in the world? What are they going to do when they grow up and they go out into the workforce on their own and they have to face tests and trials of life? If they haven't learned what self-control is, if they haven't learned how to bring this man into subjection, our responsibility as parents is to instill that with the love of a parent, with the love that the Lord has and shows to us here. And I bring that out to try to illustrate the Lord's dealings with us. The way the Lord deals with us is to try to bring attention to, here's an area, because as many as I love, I rebuke. Hebrews, I believe, 12th chapter, it talks about the chastening of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son that He receives. You don't want to be a bastard. You don't want to be a child that's not received into the fold. If the Lord loves us, the Lord will be faithful to point out places in our lives that I didn't shine through like I should have there. You didn't have the grace on hand. Isn't that what a test is for? The word reprobate, you can look into that word. It's Scripture brings out those, examine yourselves whether you be reprobate. If you haven't passed the test, that which has not stood up to the test that it's put through is reprobate. Isn't that why the Lord brings tests our way? To bring to the surface, to allow us to see those places of ourselves that I didn't realize I needed patience so much. Lord, how could I realize it unless I face a test? Unless the Lord brings something in my life to try to chasten in His dealings and His love and His mercy to try to allow me to see myself a little more. The Lord's trying to prepare us for heaven. The Lord's trying to prepare us and equip us and enable and help us through our lives that we might see Him. Remember Jesus' dealings with people, 10th chapter of Luke. It seems like in interactions with Jesus, surely people could have seen that this is my chance. This is my opportunity. I hear Him speak with such authority and I realize that it stirs something within my heart. This is my chance to get help. The only reason why the Lord stirs our heart is because I have the grace to help you. I have to offer unto you what you need to fix what I'm dealing with, if you'll just accept it. But so many people, you look really at two classes of people, or two different groups of people. Those that heard the words of Jesus, and they were stirred, and they came, and they had fallen down before Him. Master, Thou hast the words of eternal life. I want to hear more. I want to understand more. I want to conform to what Your words are. And then there are others, such as Luke, the 10th chapter, and the 25th verse. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But notice what it says in the 29th verse. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? In response to what Jesus said, it said a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him. Asked a question as if I'm being honest, as if I really want to know the answer to the question, but the underlying motive is, I want to justify myself. I want to be able to hear you say, you're doing so well. And the rich young ruler as well, that said, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. But there was at least something with the rich young ruler that said, I still lack something. I still have a need beyond that. What is it? And then he turned away grieved when Jesus spoke it to him. But this man, whenever Jesus answered and said, what you've said, the words, if you really live that out, you'll fulfill the law. You'll fulfill what is required of you if you truly live what you just spoke. But he, overlooking all of that, overlooking the wisdom of what Jesus had said, overlooking the life that was in the words of Jesus, willing to justify himself, he was still in the place that I've heard that. No doubt, maybe I've been stirred in my heart, but I still want to justify myself. I still want to think that I stand before you justified and with just cause and reason for who I am. I want you to recognize who I am. I want you to recognize the good that I've done. You know how many people in our world today are in that place? And I believe the danger is in the letter to the Laodiceans. That applies throughout all ages. I believe it's for us to take warning that we too could fall into that same kind of mindset. Sometimes it's little by little. You know, the Lord, I believe with all of us in my life, the Lord has to come along and make course corrections. Sometimes it's little by little. You've started veering off a little bit, and I want you to correct. And I can go and I can say, but no, I don't need, but this, but that, and I keep going the same path. Or I can say, Lord, that's where I'm at. Lord, that's who I am. I see it, Lord. I acknowledge that I am the man, and I want to make that correction. I want to stay on course and on track with you. But this man was willing to justify himself. Scripture says that we are to preach the gospel, sound doctrine, because there will be many that won't endure it. There will be many in the last days that will not endure sound doctrine. But they will heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. Having ears that want to be tickled. I want to go to a place, and no doubt you've heard it as well, people that say, I'm shopping for a church. I'm looking for a church where I can go and I can feel comfortable. I don't want to go to it. I don't want to be comfortable. As much as I want the Lord to be able to say, I'm well pleased with you. You've come to the place, you're walking in the light, all the light that I shed on my path. I don't want to walk, you know, as I stand before a mirror, I'm not always pleased with what I see. And I could turn the lights down real dim until I get to the point that I say, now I like what I see. And it's just a dim shadow that I'm looking at. I want to say, and I want to be of the mindset, Lord, I don't want to walk in darkness. I don't want to walk in the shadow where those things that would be an embarrassment to me. Those things, you know, I've had the Lord come along and show me a place where, Clint, you've got some pride here. And I say, Lord, well, no, I don't. That's not pride, and it hurt me. And then I realize the reason why you're even feeling hurt is because of pride. And then I have to say, and I can make a choice that I say, Lord, that is not pride. Here's the reason. Here's this. Here's that. And I know I've searched my heart, and it's not pride. It's not there. I'm not a proud person. But whose testimony is true? Is it my own assessment of myself? Or is it when the Lord comes along and said, the way you acted there, there was something underlying it. There was a root underneath it that really needs to be taken care of. We must, all of us must be of the condition of heart that I accept it, that I embrace it. You know, the Scripture talks about, and I realize I'm not turning to many of these, but 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, because they receive not a love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. You know, that's frightening. There should be a fear over all of us that I don't want that to be me. I pray often, Lord, don't let me be deceived. Lord, don't let me walk in a path where I am deceived, where, in other words, my opinion of myself and my opinion of the Lord do not match, where I think of myself in one light and I think I'm all right and I've convinced myself of that, but all the while the Lord's saying, no, no, you don't realize that you're naked and blind. You remember the story about the emperor's new clothes? I often think of that when I read Revelation 3. It's been a while since I've read it, so I don't know if I'll try to recount it. But there were those that came and tried to convince the king, we're going to make you some of the finest clothes. And not everybody is going to be able to see them, only those that are with the greatest wisdom or however that goes. So whenever he looked down and he saw that he didn't have any clothes on, and they convinced him that you really do. You really do. And they made on about it. And so he was embarrassed to acknowledge that I don't have any clothes. And other people that saw him parading by looked at him and whispered and quiet, but they were embarrassed. Maybe it's just me that I'm not able to recognize. You know, the enemy tries to pull that on many, many in the world. To try to convince people that you're clothed. To try to convince people that you're really doing all right. You're really, your shame is covered up, but I haven't really dealt with it. I haven't really been honest enough before the Lord to say, Lord, I don't have it. Lord, I don't have the grace. I don't have fill in the blank. Lord, I need it. To acknowledge, Lord, I need help. Lord, in this line of my life, I need your help. So what is the truth? They receive not a love of the truth. Is it doctrine? Yes. Is it the truth about ourselves? Yes. The truth. The light. Scripture says that in His light, we see light. With Him is the fountain of life. Whenever we come and we approach unto Him, and I embrace truth, I embrace the light, even whenever the light shows up things about myself that are embarrassing to me, that are shameful to me, that I think, Lord, I'd never want anybody to know that I had that, or that you said this was in my life, or this was underlying what I did. For me to acknowledge and realize and say, yes, Lord, that is the truth. To have a love for it, to embrace it, to long for it, to say, Lord, I want your judgments. You know, that can be hard to say. But when I realize that the judgments of the Lord are His mercy, and it's His kindness, it's His mercy to deal with me and cause me to realize that there are some lines here that, as we often say, Lord, I want to draw closer to You. We sing the song, More Like Christ. You know, I'm going to have a love for the truth to get there. I'm going to have to be willing when the Lord comes along and shows me myself. I'm going to have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, that's me. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the truth. Thank You for the light that You've just shown on who I am. And I want to deal with that and address that. Many people walk in darkness because they love the darkness. Because they love their own idea that they formed of themselves. And so I go and I'm going to pick those that will talk to me. And I've known those that have chosen to go a course that they've been advised against into sin. And anybody that says anything to the contrary, or anybody that would even make a comment that I can't go along with that, I can't agree with that, well, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'll have nothing else to do with you. The only ones that I'm going to surround myself with are those that will pat me on the back and say, you have every right to do that. You have every right to do the things that you're doing. You're okay. You know, it's not just the friends out in the world. It's many churches that are willing to say, come on in and be a part. You're doing all right. And I'll come and I'll stand before you and I'll give you things that make you feel good about yourself. I'll give you a motivational speech that'll make you leave feeling good and happy about yourself. I want that. The Spirit does that. But He also comes along in His mercy and in His love and He prods us. And He deals with us. And He shows us ourselves. Thank the Lord for it. Proverbs 6:23 says, His commandment is a lamp unto us. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. If we want to walk in a way where we have life, light brings life. In light is life. If I want to have life, as Jesus said, and to have it more abundantly, I have to walk in the light. I have to be in the place that I'm honest before the Lord to realize who I am, to acknowledge the truth of what He says. Jesus spoke unto a group of people that were deriding Him, finding fault with Him, and He said, ye are they which justify themselves. Ye are the ones that the Pharisees, you have a good opinion of yourself. You seek the honor that comes from men, but you don't seek the honor that comes from God alone. You like to have people call you great titles. You like to have the chief places where you can sit and where you're recognized. Look how great this person is. But you don't seek the honor that comes from the Lord. That's not your chief pursuit and desire and number one focus, as it should be in all of our lives. Lord, above all, I want Your favor. Above all, I want You to be able to testify. You know He did of Abel. Hebrews the 11th chapter and 4th verse says, speaking of Abel, that God testifying by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By it, God testifying of His gifts. God was the one that gave witness. It wasn't Abel saying, well, you know, Cain, my sacrifice is better than yours. But it was the Lord that accepted His sacrifice. The world may criticize, the world may ridicule us, but it's not the favor of the world that we seek for. It's the favor of the Lord. For Him to be able to say, I accept Your sacrifice. I accept Your life, and I walk in that place. His smile is my constant light. That's the place that I want to be in. I'm not going to be able to take a popularity poll, an opinion survey to say, well, what do you all think of me? And I take a petition and I present that to the Lord and say, well, Lord, surely You have it wrong. All these other people think this of me. It's not the opinion of man. Man looks on the outward, but God on the inward. It's not my own opinion, but it's the opinion of the Lord that I need to seek after and understand. Lord, help me to be able to see myself. Help me to be able to realize and look upon myself the way that You do. Isaiah the 50th chapter. the fifth verse, says, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Whenever I come to places in my life that the Lord shows me, Clint, this is who you really are. Sometimes my tendency, my natural reaction is to say, but it's that person, and it's my surroundings, and it's I had to react this way. I have to be this way. Lord, it's just the way that I am." For me to say, "Lord, yes, it's who I am. Lord, I acknowledge it. I don't make excuse for it. I don't try to justify myself. Lord, I just come and throw myself on your mercy. Lord, I acknowledge I need more of you. Lord, I need more of you in this area, so would you give it to me? Would you fill me? Would you correct this? Would you take away that spot that you're looking at? I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." I'd like to close where we began. Third chapter of Revelation. After he had exposed where they were at, he said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I come and I show you who you are. I write this letter to you for you to see. I have something better than what you have. I have something that's more valuable than what you currently have on hand. I have clothing that's white, the white raiment of the saints. I have a substance that you can have on hand that will withstand the fire. It'll withstand the test of life. I have something that you can have on hand that's of great value in my sight and before the world. I have something on hand for you that you can see. Those places that you were confused, that you lacked understanding, I have a place where now you'll be able to see clearly. Anoint your eyes with eye salve. Lord, help me to see. Lord, help me to see myself as you see me. Lord, help me to see myself not in the light of my own opinions, not in the light of what other people might say about me, but Lord, search and examine the deepest parts of my heart, the deepest areas of my life. I want you to get down and deal not just to the surface level, but Lord, get down and, you know, we have to give the Lord permission. The Lord can't just shovel His way in. If I stand in the way that I am one of those that wants to justify Himself, when the Lord's coming with a shovel and He's trying to dig in and I say, "No, I'm okay, I'm all right," you know the Lord won't override that. But if I say, "Lord, I acknowledge there's something under there that keeps springing up. Lord, would you get down and deal with it?" The Lord wants to deal not just with the surface issues, not just with the reactions and the things that crop up, but the Lord wants us to be so honest before Him that He can get down and really dig in our lives and in our hearts. The Lord wants us to be found in His image, and He's faithful to show us that. You pray for me that I'd be faithful to Him. Amen.